Good morning, I'm Marilyn Smith. This is Open Line Weekend here on WOSU. We're talking about food. Food's on the menu this morning. And we'll welcome restaurant reviewers Rich Terapak and his son Rich, who do radio and web reviews for WOSU, along with Steve Stover, who writes for City Scene magazine. Welcome to you all, and thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And we'd also like to hear from our listeners. Of course, your input is always important. We want to know where you eat and why. And this morning, we're going to start with a quick overview of the Columbus restaurant scene. There have been a couple of new additions to the restaurants that we normally go to here in Columbus, and a couple of serious demises of at least one long time, very, very good restaurant here in Columbus.
Yeah, it's exciting, Marilyn, to have some folks brave enough to open a couple of new restaurants. And Rich and I and yourself went to Level this week, which is the restaurant located where RJ Snappers used to be at Lincoln and High. And it's a pretty snazzy place, and the food was good. Steve, I know you've been there.
Yes, I was there the day before you were, skulking in to get the scoop.
Looking at my calendar online.
Trying to undercut her.
But it's a beautiful place.
It is a beautiful place.
It's very nightclubby, and there, I don't know if you were able to go upstairs, but there's a second bar and even more nightclubby place upstairs. So it's maybe talk about the decor a little bit, because it was pretty.
Yeah, it was very, very contemporary. They completely redid the space. I read somewhere they spent close to $900,000 redoing it. Designer leather chairs throughout. But beautiful. Tones of green and brown, and it's a wonderful looking place.
White leather chairs and
Well, marble top tables. There were some glass tile insets in some of the walls. I mean, it really is. Yeah. You walk in and it kind of takes your breath away.
So it was nice. The food was good too.
And absolutely. And the menu itself is built on levels. There's an early level, a midday level. Calzone, I guess that's just
level,
a zone.
Stacked level for sandwiches.
Level, yeah.
And you know what I did find out? Our review went out on podcast today, but I did find out their lunch and dinner menu are the same, in fact.
Really?
We had said on the review we went for lunch, but apparently it's the same menu. So in that case, it makes it quite reasonable for dinner.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's sort of a new American bar-like menu, and I've had the salad, we both had the salad, the California Cobb and the Cowboy. I think it was the smoking salad, and both had some unique twists.
Smoking Raz,
which had sort of a smoked paprika and almonds on the top, which was an interesting salad, since I only eat salad these days.
I see. I think I had the turkey wrap, and that was really terrific as well. Had a raspberry vinaigrette, which was unusual. Had alfalfa sprouts in it, and it had a garlic tortilla wrap, and the asparagus, grilled asparagus, was done perfectly, which is sometimes hard to find.
That's good.
Yeah.
And it was a nice big
generous
portion.
What did you have?
I had the cordon bleu, which was a pasta dish that had a ham and Swiss kind of base to it with some grilled chicken. And the chicken was very, very tender. The ham was very lean. I think in our review we said it could have had a little more heft to it, that the sauce was pretty light.
Maybe add a little Parmesan or even some herbs, just to distinguish it from, typical
bechamel. It was just
bechamel
kind of sauce and needed a little zip. But the if they're serving the same thing at dinner, that could be
a bargain.
A bargain, yeah. I think my wrap was $9.
Yeah, I had the Cubano Grill, which was a great sandwich, pressed panini. It came with the sweet potato fries, which are amazing. A little underfried, but good.
Yeah.
And speaking of new and bargains, if I may.
Sure.
Rosendale's has retooled. I don't know if you've talked about that, but
I don't think we have since they've done the new menu downstairs upstairs.
The upstairs is still the fabulous world cuisine that he's become famous for as a former National Chef of the Year and captain of the U.S. Olympic team. But downstairs has been completely redone, even the seating a bit. And it's now called Rosendale's Modern Bistro, and the M and the B are not capitalized. But what's exciting about it is that it's sort of a new American menu, and it's nothing on the menu. There are only two items over $20, at a place like that. The black snapper is $15 and a half roasted chicken is $14. It's all a la carte. And the other interesting thing about it is that it's built for grazing and for sharing. They have little wooden things on the table where they put everything in the middle, and then you're encouraged to share the polenta with
little
wild mushroom. In my case, it was a trough or a feed bag.
Grazing.
Grazing. Literally.
Or a salad.
I was literally
yeah,
grazing.
Yeah, salad, yeah.
But the food
so
is
you're
very
sharing
good.
Among your own group.
The whole idea. Well, actually.
Making friends.
Not going from table to table.
If you know me at all, I was actually going from table to table. Some folks that work on the conservatory event were nearby, and I managed to go over and inspect their plates. But
now, did they put some padding on those benches?
Yes, I think they did.
Yeah.
And
you bring your own.
I've got a dinner to do. I'm supposed to do a dinner, casual dinner for 30 coming up, and we're going to try doing that and see how it's for our board of governors at the Ohio State Bar. Just let them in little groups of four and six.
Let them roam around. Sure,
and let them roam around a little bit and have some fun. So I would think that would be a must do. And also, Rosendale's Modern Bistro is going to be opening for lunch sometime soon. We don't know when.
And Details is still around. But,
yeah, talk about it. The other thing is that people forget about Details.
Details is the little spot right immediately south in the same building, different entrance, and it's a tapas kind of place, swank, modern-looking, but good small plates. You get, I think, three burgers for
$9.
$9, yeah.
It's a great way to experience, the Rosendale's cuisine without breaking the bank. I had some rib tacos there that were incredible. Oh. Also, the tuna tartare tacos. The pot stickers are great off the starter menu. All those dishes are under $9.
So these are three distinct restaurants in essentially one.
In one building.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And one more thing about Details.
Nye,
it's so fun to go upstairs. There's a bar where the chefs are working. It's just an open kitchen. And you can sit there, have a glass of wine, and talk to the chefs while they're making your charcuterie plate. It's just a really fun evening. They also have a grand tasting. And Richard might even do it for you himself. It's $55, and there are like a dozen little dishes.
Huh.
I'm thinking Rich might take me as his guest to do that, but
I would really like
to do it even more on his tab. But that's so you've got Details, the wine bar on the south,
not
upstairs
likely.
And down. In the main Rosendale's, you have the Modern Bistro downstairs and the fine dining upstairs. So
we'll have to introduce you to
terrific.
Mr. Terapak. You went to Dirty Dogs recently.
It's the new Lesner experiment. It's downtown. It's a hot dogs only restaurant. It's on 4th Street between Rich and a little alley called Cherry. It's kind of by that Romanoff's Tuxedos, if you've ever seen it. That's been there forever. But terrific place. They've got about 20 different styles of dogs. Just a few we sampled. We did the
they're all beef, aren't they?
Yeah, they're all beef, 100%. We tried the Sriracha dog, which is that Sriracha that's like a Vietnamese chili sauce almost.
With the rooster on the bottom.
Yeah, exactly. With coleslaw on a hot dog. They had one called the Classy Lady, which was crumbled Lay's potato chips with melted cheese on a hot dog. The Boston, which is like a coney but with baked beans instead of chili. But the same toppings. And, it goes on and on from there. There's some real wild creations.
Could they put a salad on it for Steve? Just a little salad on
I
it.
Bet they could. They seem to put everything else on them. But
right now it's take off the bun and put on the salad.
Yeah, but everything, every dog on the menu is $3. I went with my wife. We each had two and were completely stuffed. They're definitely, good size for $3. They pile on
That's
the
a good
toppings.
Price.
Yeah. And
wow.
Yeah, good sides. They also feature slushies, which is kind of funny, like RC Cola and cherry slushies. Goes well with the hot dogs. So I definitely recommend
Elizabeth
it.
Does really interesting and fun stuff.
Yeah. And for those who don't know, this is the proprietor of Tip Top, Betty's, and Surly Girl
right.
as well. And they've brought some great stuff to Columbus.
And the outgoing president of the Central Ohio Restaurant Association.
Right.
And is this a restaurant now that you can walk to, or do you need to drive if you don't work downtown?
The bizarre thing is right now they're open at night downtown, which is completely opposite of everything else for anyone who's ever worked downtown or lived downtown. I think they are planning to open up during the day eventually. It's on 4th Street, which is a commuter street, so there's a little bit of pay parking in front, but not a ton. You could walk there from German Village if you're a resident over there.
And from downtown.
Yeah, and from downtown.
And I think I talked to her, and I think she said she's – she gets it about lunch, so I think it should be open for lunch pretty soon.
Yeah, no, it's surprising it's open in the evening, but when I went in, it was absolutely packed. There's a lot of word of mouth going around about the place right now.
Well, and it's long away that there's been
a... Yeah, there is a bar, full bar, actually.
292-8513, I'm sorry.
Maybe we could get Gene Smith to bring him to the Ohio Stadium.
Yes.
A $3 better dog would be
good. A good $3 dog.
Well, Third and Hollywood.
Third and Hollywood. Now, this is the North Star folks,
yes.
Is it not? And it's the old Gibby's location on Third.
Kevin Malamy and his wife, Katie, who are children of friends of ours, which is sad. They have the two North Star restaurants, one at Second and High near the White Castle and one up in Beechwold just south of Henderson on the west side of the street with parking in the back. And this is a little change. It's a little upscale. They're taking the theme of local sourcing and using the best possible ingredients and taking it to a more upscale restaurant. It's a very pretty place. It's in the old Gibby's location at the corner of West 3rd Avenue and Hollywood. And it's got the lovely brick walls, and they put in real cherry butcher block tables and leather booths, and it's still got the fireplace from Gibby's, and they should have the patio open by the time you get there. So it's very nice, and the menu is new American, but certainly more upscale. A lot of fish. The thing that people talk about is the super upscale cheeseburger, which is made of locally sourced beef. The high-end cuts grilled, it's sort of like what you'd expect at a Kobe beef burger, only it might be a little bit better because they're using skirt steak and other really high-end steak ingredients. But they also have fish, a very nice wine list. And
a corn and black bean burger?
Yes, that's the veggie burger. Yeah. We saw one of those as I was inspecting plates. Mary had the grilled fish sandwich, which was really good, and it had an herb mayonnaise. But everything's made from scratch. He even went so far as to resource his pork so that he could get the pork chop that he wanted with the exact amount of marbling. And they have a special fish provider that comes in several times a week to bring premium fish. So you're getting, as with North Star, premium ingredients, mostly local sourced and well prepared. And so the prices are a little bit higher than bar food, but that's even more reason. And it was a friend of mine went there last night, and it was jammed. So
that's great.
No reservations, but a lovely bar. And
what recession?
Well, we do want to remind people that this is on Third, and parking is limited to a fairly small parking lot there, and there's a lot of restricted parking in that neighborhood because it's tough for the residents who live down there as well. This has always been a very popular site for a restaurant up until this EJ's Canyon
Cafe, I think.
Yeah, which started out fairly well, and then I think consistency was kind of an issue there because it you just didn't get the same food twice, really.
It's just east of Grandview, and the other landmark is the Grandview Cafe and Panzera's Pizza, so it's just east of that.
They've got wine by the glass, and it's relatively reasonable and a pretty extensive.
The markups are reasonable. Yeah. The wines are more high-end. I would like to see a few more less expensive wines in the low to mid-20s.
292-8513 is our number. We're talking about Columbus restaurants today with Rich Terapak and his son Rich and Steve Stover, who writes for City Scene magazine. If you have a question, you can email us as well, openline@wosu.org. And we have had an email from Kenny who wants to find a vegetarian and New Orleans type of food, which sounds like an oxymoron to me, with reasonable prices. Well, Kenny, what do you get? I'm not sure what kind of vegetarian.
There is Cajun cuisine. My wife pointed out that in the basement of the Rife State Office Tower.
Oh, I've been there. It's okay.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go as far as to recommend it.
Well, the couple things she's had have been good.
Way underneath. It's between the Huntington Center and the Rife Center, kind of.
The good news is that the state saw fit to bring in an outside provider to provide food, and that she's doing some interesting Cajun stuff. And salad bar and some other stuff.
Is it vegetarian?
Well, there would be vegetarian items. It's not a vegetarian restaurant. Now, is he looking for a vegetarian restaurant and a Cajun restaurant?
I don't know. This comes to us from email.
That'd be a tall order. I can say there is a new Cajun restaurant opening now that the Gay Street construction downtown is finishing up. There's a new place opening at 31 Gay Street called J. Gumbo's. It should be open, I think, within the next month, and they're going to do Cajun food there.
Is it a restaurant or is it a lunchy kind of place?
It's a lunchy kind of place, okay. Yeah.
So that's that, and then vegetarian. There's everything from Dragonfly to any restaurant worth its salt should have a
– Yeah, just we were talking about Third in Hollywood is that
– veggie burger.
Corn and bean – black bean burger, and there were a number of vegetarian options at Level as well. I think you can find them just about any place. I'm thinking of trying to think if there's any other Cajun or New Orleans kind of place that would. Yeah,
Indian, a lot of India. Udupi Cafe is yeah. among several South Indian restaurants that are exclusively vegetarian.
Yeah, I don't think that there any restaurant anymore can get away without having at least a couple of vegetarian offerings on the menu because so many people now. Whether they're vegetarian or not, I just don't think that meat is quite as popular with the general population as it once was. You know, I think everybody tries to limit their intake of red meat. 292.
But if they do want red meat, they can go to the Ohio State Fair on August 3rd.
Oh, thank you, Rick.
Shameless plug for Mr. Stover, who's doing a cooking demonstration for the beef.
Or the Ohio Beef Council, right?
Beef Council.
Usually do the chicken, but it's at the Heartland Pavilion.
At 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock on Monday, August 3rd, during the fair. So come on down. You get the taste. I'm going to do a lovely steak Florentine, a big, thick sirloin grilled and sliced thin and served on a little bed of homemade risotto.
Maybe some sliced Parmesan or shaved Parmesan.
Shaved Parmesan, or as my father would call it, Parmesan.
So this is a cooking demonstration. Are there samples available to
yes.
try and lure people down there?
Yeah. Exactly.
And there's no additional charges, there, Steve.
No. And the governor usually does. They're about – it goes on for over a week, and they have three demonstrations a day at 1, 3, and 5, and they – mostly real chefs, but I'm there as the – and I'm – by far the senior person. I've been doing this for more than 20 years. Rich and I did it together for probably 10 years. It's just sort of fun to go to the fair.
And I flaked out on him.
It's in the it's where the dairy – they have dairy.
The butter pork, sculptures.
No, that's at a different place. But they have the milkshakes and the ice cream cones and the pork producers and the chicken producers and the beef council all have little stands. And that's the best place on the fair by far to eat because these are the people who do that. Another shameless self-promotion, Marilyn?
Yes.
This is – Rich is involved in this. On on Friday, July 31st, the Inn at Cedar Falls down in Hocking County, the Inn at Cedar Falls, is having a dinner, and they're having three guest chefs, Messrs. Tarapac, Boudreaux, and Stover. And we're doing a five-course dinner plus a little couple surprises. I think it's $45 and
it's a bargain.
Lot of fun. It's
bargain.
A bargain. For the, we know it's a bargain because we know what the menu is. But you can check with us or check out the Inner Cedar Falls. It was a lot of fun. And it is booking up. I think there are a few spots left that they've talked about maybe adding another seating either early or late. And it's Cedar Falls. Fun.
And what day is that?
Friday, July 31st.
Okay, and the rest of us can all go take a shower now if you're finished.
I'm not, well, no.
No, you're not finished?
No, I am.
We were going to also talk about the closing of Hankey's, which was really sad to see. And that was on June 21st, I think, was their final day of operation.
Well, I think it was supposed to be Saturday, maybe even the 20th. And we went on the Thursday. And that happened to be the last night.
Yeah, we went on the 18th in an effort to go for one last time. And, yeah, they ended up shutting down at the end of that night. So we ended up being some of the last customers, unfortunately.
Three of us were all there. Yeah. And there were a bunch of other Hankey's fans. And it was sad.
Yeah, it's too bad. You know, Chef Hankey had sold the restaurant and the rights to use his name,
last year.
Last May. And the new owners were from Cincinnati but had moved up here, and they'd opened a pretty successful upstairs bar called Encore. I think the economy for high-end restaurants is just really taking its toll. That's the reason we're seeing all the small plates kind of dishes popping up at most of the good restaurants. Or
you see a place like Level that's, you know, looks that high-end and is, you know, selling dishes, entrees between $13 and $17.
Yeah.
And even places like Rosendale, next week there's some local magazine's having a restaurant week.
614 Magazine actually is sponsoring a restaurant week July 13th to the 17th, I believe it is, to benefit the Mid-Ohio Food Bank. There's several restaurants participating. I think I have the list here. Columbus Fish Market, Bell Lago, Hyde Park, Lindy's, Morton's, Matt the Miller's Tavern, Smith and Walensky, Mezzo, Moretti's of Arlington, Ruth's Chris, Rosendale's, Mitchell's, and The Melting Pot, and several more are expected to sign on. And those are all places where you can get a three-course dinner. You know, those are all fairly high-end restaurants for between $15 and $35, depending on the restaurant.
And the Rosendale's one, Rich saw that. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, the Rosendale's, I think it goes all week long, and the you get three courses, and they offer three choices for each of the courses. The first course has a tuna tartare taco that Rich was talking about, or a pear and endive salad, or baked potato poppers with pesto aioli.
Say that three times.
Well, if I can say it without popping.
One time.
And we've got the half chicken that Steve talked about is on the main menu.
$15 right there.
Yeah, lamb shank, a black grouper corn tortilla, and a bunch of desserts, creme brulee, s'mores, raspberries, and creamy tapioca.
What a deal. I mean, those entrees are $15 to $19.
Three for $25. And that's just one sample of all those restaurants.
And this, of course, may be one of the reasons why Hankey's closed is because the Arena District and the Short North are attracting so much more attention now, and the Brewery District, for whatever reason, is not getting nearly the kind of traffic that it did.
That's
at
a good
first.
Point. Yeah.
Make Front Street two ways.
Well, I think there
everything
is some talk about
to the,
that.
Everything funnels to the arena.
I hope that will happen. I used to work at the Supreme Court, and they have the new building on there. And one of the things is there's no way for them to drop off school kids. And so we were working for years to try to get it to be two ways, and hopefully that will happen.
292-8513, we're talking about restaurants today with our panel of reviewers, Rich Terapak and his son, Rich, along with Steve Stover, who writes for City Scene magazine. I'm Marilyn Smith. This is Open Line Weekend. We'd also like to hear from you. 292-8513. We had occasion here at the station yesterday for a staff meeting, and food was provided, which means, of course, everybody does make an effort to show up. And it was catered by Dewey's, which is a new pizza restaurant here. Mm-hmm. And talk about shameless self-promotion. But this is a restaurant started by some fellows in Cincinnati, and I understand it's pretty popular down there. And they've recently opened a pizza place on Fifth Avenue, mm-hmm, near Northwest Boulevard. So another of the lineup of new restaurants here. By the time I got to the meeting yesterday, the pizza was pretty much gone and cold. But I'll tell you, it was still really good. The one I had some olives on it, green and black, and either a white sauce or just olive oil on it, and some onions. And it was really tasty and really flavorful. I don't know if this is an actual sit-down eatery, mm-hmm, if any of you know.
It's a new build on Fifth Avenue on the south side. I think it's west of Northwest Boulevard. It's very popular, and it's sort of almost all high-end pizzas. I haven't been there. I've been in, but I haven't eaten there. And it's real cute and very popular.
Well, it seems to
a
be
lot
that
of salads.
Mr.
Yeah,
Christensen had a few complaints, but other than that, it's been.
He thought maybe they were off their mark that day, or hadn't perhaps had enough time.
He didn't like the canned olives, I think.
Well, gee. They do have a variety of salads and calzones and pretty much pizza. And then I guess from what it says here, they get their desserts from local confectioners. So it's a fairly limited menu, mm-hmm, and I would think, you know, that would give you the upper hand in doing it right.
I've had good reports on it, so it sounds like fun.
One of the other – speaking of the bakery-type institutions, unfortunately, we lost Mozart's and Bexley. And Moshi's Sushi is coming?
Yeah, Moshi's Sushi is coming to the Bexley Gateway. They were supposed to open, I believe, July 2nd. As is typical in the restaurant business, it's been delayed a little bit. But, hopefully that'll turn out to be nice. We could definitely Yu's, a good sushi restaurant on the east side.
Do you know anything about who's involved?
You know, I don't. I tried to look up information on a website. There are several other Moshi sushis out there in the world,
in the world?
That are separate.
Not related.
Must mean something, or a common name maybe in Japanese. I don't know.
Well, you know, you could happen down there sometime when you're working.
I drive past all the time. And it's just the coming soon sign. So
this is Open Line on WOSU. We're going to take a minute here. We'll be back talking about restaurants.
On the next Fresh Air, Drew Barrymore. The HBO film Grey Gardens, which she starred in, comes out on DVD next week. Also, David Edelstein reviews Sacha Baron Cohen's new movie, Bruno. I'm Terry Gross. Join us for the next Fresh Air.
Fresh Air begins in just about 30 minutes. It starts at noon right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. Good morning. I'm Amy Jurevich. Thanks for joining us for Open Line this morning. Currently 79 degrees in downtown Columbus at 11:30.
Support for WOSU comes from the Columbus Metropolitan Club, presenting a variety of speakers on the relevant issues of today. More information is available at www.columbusmetroclub.org. WOSU News reports on the stories you need to hear and the stories you want to hear.
The village of Piketon is about an hour and a half south of Columbus and was once home to a uranium enrichment plant. In the next decade or so, it could be home to a nuclear power plant.
I think it's a good deal, certainly for Piketon, but for the whole southern part of the state.
Get more from your news with the award-winning WOSU News team on WOSU 89.7 FM, NPR News, and classical music.
In the weather forecast for today, sunshine and a high of 85. Some clouds tonight and a low right around 70. Rain is likely throughout the day on Saturday and a high of 85. This is WOSU 820.
This is Open Line on WOSU. I'm Marilyn Smith. We're talking about restaurants here in Columbus. We'd like to hear from you as well if you'd like to share some of the places that you go to eat. You can also email us at WOSU.org, openline at WOSU.org, or call 292-8513. We're talking with Rich Terapak and his son, who do restaurant reviews for WOSU, along with Steve Stover, who writes for City Scene. We've been talking about some of the new places here, and one of the very popular spots to eat in Columbus in the summertime are some of the restaurant patios, and Well, not every restaurant
almost
has added a patio, but it's certainly a draw for
those who have. I counted
more
than 200.
No kidding.
About a year or so ago.
No way. Wow.
And 10 years ago, there were probably two.
Yeah. No, I think anyone who can, zoning-wise and space-wise, does it.
Yeah. And some of them are wonderful and romantic, and you know, they range from something that's like right on the sidewalk, on the street, on Gay Street, where you're
tip-top
there with
yeah
the traffic and everything else like that. Even Rosendale's, although it's around the side on Buttles. Not Buttles.
Hubbard.
Is a street side. And then one of my favorite ones before was La Tavola, which overlooks the Scioto Valley. But Rich has some favorites.
Well, Barcelona, I think, is my top. You know, it's beautiful brick patio down in the heart of German Village. It's probably the most upscale patio dining you'll be able to find in the city. Lindy's, of course, as well. Beautiful patio, you know, multi-level. I happen to like Barcelona food better. But what about you, Dad?
Well, I think I guess Barcelona is my favorite as well. I like the Tip Top just because it's downtown and I can get there quickly and go there frequently for lunch, and they have good portions. I haven't done a lot of it. There's a bunch of places in our neighborhood who have outdoor dining. They're all sort of small shops, but
mm-hmm. Yeah, Chipotle's got patio dining in Bexley. So does
what's the place? I'm struggling to remember the name of the place next to the library that has that little patio in the back.
Flavors.
Flavors, yeah.
And Giuseppe's across, isn't it?
Giuseppe's is always back.
And there's a place where you really are right up against Main Street.
Right. Yeah. There's about, I think, only four tables out there, you know, two on each side of the door. But, you know, it's also kind of a place to be seen in Bexley. You know, that's a popular intersection.
You can go to Johnson's and they've got a guitar player on Thursday nights.
Yep.
And for views, you could go to Bellago, which is a former Hoover Grill up on the Hoover Reservoir.
And talking to people who have eaten there, apparently it's very good.
I've had good reports. I haven't been there, and good Italian, you know, is tough to do. M has a lovely patio. People never think about that,
yeah.
But it's got views of downtown. And another patio that, for lunch at least, is the Columbus Museum of Art, the Palette Cafe.
Oh, yeah.
You can
That's
take your food outside.
Good call, Steve. Yeah.
And it's really nice.
And
it's
good culture.
Down in the short north, for a little more casual environment, La Fagata Mexican restaurant, and also Haiku, the sushi restaurant, has a really pretty patio.
What about restaurants that are in actual residential areas? Are patios a problem? For a while there was some talk about limiting noise and neighbor complaints.
Well, for instance, at Bossi Italia, I've heard there is, you know, has been significant complaints from, I think, one neighbor in particular around there.
Big patio.
It's a, you know, it's a very intimate, lovely patio. It's got an awning over it, but it does border, you know, some apartments. I mean, literally.
Yeah, well, it's right in the middle.
Feet. Yeah, it's a very residential area. I don't think it was originally constructed as a restaurant. So that's one.
No, early on that little spot was a grocery store, actually, and then it became a
pizza place
that
yeah.
had very limited seating, and so it was mostly takeout. And it's just been, I think, now 5 years that Bossi has been in business there. But it doubles the size of the restaurant in summer
and
fall.
The patio is probably bigger than the inside.
Absolutely it is.
It's a moneymaker, too.
The refectory has their deal menus Monday through Thursday, and that's probably the best good food bargain on their patio.
In the city, Monday through Thursday, three courses, your choice of appetizer, entree, and dessert for $22
wow.
in the lounge or the patio at the refectory.
292-8513, and we do have a caller on the line. Tim apparently is new to Columbus and wants to know where to get the best chicken shawarma. Go ahead, Tim.
Hi, yeah, I'm new to the Columbus area. I'm originally from Metro Detroit. We have a large Arabic population up there, so I'm used to more traditional Arabic food, and I was just wondering where the best place to get a good chicken shawarma would be.
I'd try Lavash, which is on North High Street, just north of the Graceland Shopping Center, north of Morse Road.
Oh, no, I think it's
up it's not that far. It's just past Hudson a little bit. There's some road construction in front of it. We actually, Marilyn and my father and I reviewed the place.
It was wonderful.
It's great. Very traditional.
Nasser Latif is the owner.
Yeah. Right. And he was former proprietor of Ferdu's, which is another good Middle Eastern place that's in the North Market.
I don't know if they have chicken shawarma, but
they had lamb, I think.
They do have chicken shawarma. I just mm-hmm. had it the other
oh.
day. Yeah.
And what's the Cafe Shish Kebab? Tacky name, but good place up on Bethel Road in the big shopping center up there. It used to be BYO, which would be another nice treat.
But I think, Rich, you may be thinking there are a couple of places up around the Northland area. One may be called Pita Hut. And we actually had an email about that as well.
We've heard about Pita Hut on several of our shows. We haven't had it yet. That's up in more of the Beechwold area, is that what it's called?
Yes.
And,
or South Worthington,
and
most.
I just got word Lavash is actually one block south of Weber on High Street. And we do have a podcast review of that on WSU.org.
Okay, so it is further north.
Okay. Yeah, and,
right. Thank you.
Timmy, you still – go ahead.
Thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome. And enjoy living here in Columbus.
Yeah.
292-8513. We are talking about restaurants for another 19 minutes or so if you'd like to join the conversation. We do have an email from Andrew who said that he recently tried two Mediterranean delis. One is Pita Hut and the other is Pisano's on Sawmill Road. Hmm. Now, he says they're both great and good prices and wants to know if you feel the same.
We've heard good things about Pita Hut. I have not been there.
Neither have I.
Yeah.
I keep meaning to. As many people have called in about it. It's a real small shop and kind of a strip up there in the Beechwold area. And we've heard nothing but great things, but unfortunately can't speak to it.
But they've also been from really knowledgeable people, so I think it'd be safe to give that one a try. I've had enough really good reports on them.
And that's just south of Graceland on High Street. So I think those are some relatively good. You know, it's interesting here in Columbus, in the years that I've lived here, the number of restaurants has just grown enormously in the variety of food that's now available to us. It used to be if you wanted to go out to dinner.
You went to the High Line.
Right.
Well, the
Gourmet's Eddie's. There were just a very few.
Yeah, the Grumpy Gourmet says that back, it was only 25 years ago, that if you wanted ethnic cuisine, you could go to Geemlong, Yongmei, or Prizzuti's.
Or Cleveland.
And he wasn't kidding. And that was 25 or 30 years ago. We had literally no ethnic restaurants. And now we have, you know, Ethiopian and Peruvian and all those other, Salvadorian. It's just amazing.
It really
explosion
is
of, and what a great thing for us.
Yeah, we're all the beneficiaries of that. Let's talk a little bit about summer menus. Obviously, when it's really hot out, people don't feel like eating quite so much. There's lighter fare available in many of the restaurants. It also gives chefs an opportunity to buy local produce. Mm-hmm. There's been very much a shift back to that, hasn't there?
Local sourcing?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And one of the best things I've put in my mouth in the last couple of years was a simple heirloom tomato salad with a little vinaigrette and some crumbled blue cheese at the North Star Cafe. I mean, it just resonated with me. Fresh basil and
cucumbers, and tomato salad, a little.
And this is the time of the year to really, even if you're cooking at home, to enjoy. The farm markets are open. Will be opening any day now. Ohio Proud. You can go on ohioproud.com or what? Let's see, whatever it is. But we have so many 1-800 I am proud or www.ohioproud.org, and it has a listing of all the farm markets in the area. And you know, downtown
Pearl Street. Yeah, the downtown next to the state office building is.
But of course,
3 days a week.
North Market
on Saturday morning is just spectacular.
Hands down, the best.
20 or 30 different vendors. Everything from homegrown wild mushrooms. And this week is the Ohio Food and Wine event. So and that
goes
starts
on at the same
10.
Time. Yeah.
So we're going to go early. Because it gets pretty crowded. But if you love that sort of thing, they have wine tastings for like a quarter or 50 cents.
Yeah, you buy raffle tickets, and, I mean, you can taste quite a few. Personally, the Ohio Whites I find a little superior to the Ohio Reds. Mm. But definitely worth a stop down there, and you can pick up some fresh produce at North Market.
We should be getting local corn and tomatoes. We've already been through strawberries. There are now blueberries and cherries. Also, my favorite is Rhodes Farm Market down in Circleville. Sometimes we'll even make a trek down there.
And I've heard more and more anecdotally people growing their own lettuces. You mentioned pulling some carrots out of the yard the other day.
Yeah, remarkably enough, yeah. We usually don't plant much in the way of vegetables, but we decided to give it a shot this year. And we've planted a mesclun mix of salads. We had some bib lettuce. We had some spinach. We had some carrots. We got tomatoes growing in pots.
Where are you growing all this?
Back in kind of behind the garage.
Really?
Yeah. And we're doing it in pots because our neighbors – it's been taken down. It was a former neighbor. Had a big black walnut tree, which poisons the earth underneath it. It emits something called juglone.
Yeah.
So we had to plant everything in pots, but it works.
Yeah, and actually this summer, for the first time, my wife and I, we actually dug out a 16-foot by 8-foot plot of our grass in our backyard and are growing, I think, 14 different vegetables. Mm-hmm. We've already harvested beets, carrots. We have several
big beets,
several. Yeah, I got beat out the size of my fist.
Beets already.
Yeah, already. I couldn't believe it. And then several lettuce plants. And it's wonderful to be able to go outside when you're dinner time. We've got 9 different herbs out there too. And it's just, I think, a great thing to do. I think there's been a lot of hype about the Obama garden, and it's got a lot of people started. And I think that's a great thing, especially in this economy.
Yeah.
Well, and it's a great way to hone your gardening skills and to just be able to go outside and pick dinner.
It's therapeutic. I mean,
fresh and a little extra exercise.
Yeah. And it tastes great. Yeah. There's really no replacement
for that. The difference between store-bought lettuce and the stuff you pull right off the head in your backyard and wash, you can really taste it. We've got arugula back there that's, so tart and bitter. We do it with beets and throw in a little bit of sweetness, but it's great to be able to do it.
Yeah. And our local varmints have enjoyed our garden. They ate my fennel down to the ground.
Did they? Yeah.
I don't know what kind of varmint it was.
Italian.
2928513. We have an email now from Mark. Just pointing out that there's a wonderful little Ethiopian place, he says, in Bexley.
I've been.
The Abyssinia in Town and Country.
Yeah, it's right across from the DMV. And if you
didn't have to,
the BMV, as they call it in Ohio. No, it's not new. It's been there about 3 years. I asked them that. You would never have occasion to see it unless you had to go to the Town and Country BMV. But walking out, I figured, you know, that's a cuisine I'm not too familiar with. And I walked in. It looks like a wife and husband own the place. They kind of looked at me funny. I think they do a lot of business, with ethnic Ethiopian folks and probably, some of the Somalian community in Columbus. But they were very happy to serve me. They came out and talked to me a little about the food. It was a few weeks ago. I can't remember how to pronounce exactly what I had, but it was absolutely delightful. I can't, some of that sponge bread that's famous. Mm. And I can't remember the technical.
It's sort of sour. It's
Yeah, it's a little sour, and they give it to you with a grated cheese that's not, a pasteurized typical, American cheese. And then you have some meat and sauce. But it was very good. If you're ever at the BMV, definitely stop over. You can't see it from Broad Street. You have to go back a little bit.
That's what Mark says, that there's no sign, and it's kind of hard to see from here.
What's it called? Abyssinia?
Abyssinia.
Abyssinia, right?
2928513.
Town and Country Shopping Center, right?
Yes.
That's right. And we have Gail on the line. Go ahead, Gail.
Yes, I have a question about Bread and Better. I love that restaurant. It was on Main, closed about 2 years ago, and wondered if it's opened up anywhere.
Yeah. I don't believe so. It was a lot of fun. It was right next door to the Indian Oven.
Yes.
They made all their own baked goods, and it was terrific. But I didn't know it had closed. That's too bad.
Yeah, it's been a couple years. They were supposed to move over by that new theater. And but I've gone several times and they've just never reappeared. So.
By the Lincoln?
The Lincoln on Long?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. That's what they said when they closed.
I haven't heard anything yet. The Lincoln, just kind of opened up just recently. So maybe about a month ago. So maybe that's still in the works.
Well,
and there's certainly a lot of opportunity around the Lincoln for some retail to pop up. And there's certainly an effort underway on the part of the city to attract people to that area.
That's one of Mayor Coleman's big issues over there.
That building across from it did have, available for a restaurant. That's why I kept thinking she would show up there again, but didn't work yet, I guess.
Yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much for your call. 2928513, we're talking about restaurants here in Columbus with Rich Terapak and his son, Rich, who do restaurant reviews for us. They're available on iPods on our website. And Steve Stover, who writes for City Scene. If you have a favorite restaurant that you'd like to discuss, feel free to do it. We're going to be talking here for the next 10 or 12 minutes or so. Apparently, there's something, according to the New York Times, of a pizza war going on in New York City, and this is a very localized article that was just published a couple of days ago. Are we seeing anything like that here? They're using coal-fired ovens wood-fired ovens and all sorts of different kinds of cheeses and sauces.
It's almost old news in Columbus.
Yeah, it's been going on for a while. I think the pizza ovens are the Spaggio put in, and there was one at the Bexley Muck. Those kinds of things started that kind of sort of flatbread pizza that was. Really
Vino,
Cafe Daniela, I believe, has it.
Yes, and that's up in Worthington.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what's the restaurant? The Peter Danis?
Filio.
Filio. There are two Filios.
Yeah.
But now these aren't restaurants as much as pizzerias that are engaged in this in New York.
And what's have you been – is Dewey's doing something like that? I don't recall that there would – I don't know that there's any real – Columbus doesn't have that many – pizzerias with restaurants that really focus on that, like
Rubino's,
Pepe's. Well, there you go.
Well, of course, there are a couple of unlike where I'm from in Buffalo, there are mom and pop pizza places all over, and Pizza Hut frankly can't compete because there's so many local pizza shops that are absolute favorites in the neighborhood, and people just won't go anywhere else.
Yeah, they have loyalties to them. Yeah. I mean, that's how we feel about Rubino's and Pizza Plus and Bexley.
And on our side of town, Rotolo's and Panzeras.
Right. Tommy's.
In God's country up in the Northwest.
2928513, and of course, everyone's waited until the last minute to call. Eric is on the line. Go ahead. Eric, are you with us?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I ate at this Caribbean restaurant at the Islam Mall called Masala Grill, and they have an absolutely wonderful. So I wanted to find out if your panel has been there and what you think about the place.
Say Masala Grill on the east side?
Eastland Mall.
Eastland Mall. Oh, in Eastland. Yeah. Yeah. I have not tried it. That's it's Indian fare?
It's Caribbean, Jamaican.
Oh, Caribbean. Oh, okay.
And actually, we've had some calls recently asking us about that, so that's good to know that we can send people to Eastland.
I'm a huge fan of Ina's Caribbean on up in the Linden area. Wonderful food.
Well, is it in the mall itself?
It's inside the mall, yeah.
Okay, great. We'll check it out.
They used to be beside K Jewelers, and they expanded into the food court.
Okay.
And they have wonderful food.
Good. We'll try it.
Thank you very much for your call this morning. Melissa's on the line. You can go ahead.
Hi. I was very sad when the Kahiki closed. I love tiki restaurants, Polynesian themes, and I wondered if there is anything like that in Columbus now.
Well,
that's my answer off the air as well. Thank you.
They reopened a Kahiki-themed restaurant in Mill Run, of all places. And it was open right in the Lowe's Shopping Center. And I actually got there and tried the buffet. It was frankly not great. And unfortunately, it has passed. But I don't think there's anything more Polynesian coming up. They still make the Kahiki foods.
And you can
a friend of ours works with them,
right.
And you can buy them in your grocery store. So that's another option.
2928513. From a couple of emails, someone is recommending the River Club at the Confluence for an outdoor patio and great views. And a very good review on the Kahachi Japanese restaurant.
Yes, fabulous.
Yeah. Federated
That's
Boulevard.
That's one of Steve's favorites.
Top 10 for me because you go in and it's in Federated Boulevard, east of Sawmill, north of 161, and you can work with the chef. He's standing in there cooking your dinner, and it's a top 10 on my account and others.
Very traditional Japanese. I went there with my wife. We do a lot of the generic kind of sushi stuff, and we were surprised but pleased with it. But, don't go there expecting California rolls or, fried tempura. it's not like that.
2928513, and Charles has joined us. Good morning. Go ahead, Charles.
Yes. I just wanted to say hello to Steve. It's Charles Schneider, and recommend the Olive Bar in the Short North.
Judge Schneider to me is it's at North High and Buttles. You want to talk about it, Judge?
It's a great restaurant. Has wonderful lunches and it has a nice outdoor patio. Very upscale interior, but the pricing is very modest and the food is terrific. Very traditional American food. Great sandwiches. All their French fries are made from sweet potatoes, which is kind of fun.
And he gets around. I see the judge all over town eating lunch, including
I eat boxed lunches at the Supreme Court of CLA.
That was a little. But one cool thing about the Black Olive is that it opens, the doors open, and it's like in Paris where the doors open and you can be part inside and part outside. It's sort of cool.
Like Marcello's downtown, but just the windows.
2928513, and thank you for your call. We'll go now to Maria. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
I'd like to take another moment to backtrack and talk about pizza in Columbus.
Okay.
I've been here for, it's almost 20 years now, and I just got back from another trip east. I went to New York, and I went to Philly with my family, and, you stop for a slice of pizza here and there. And I'm not going to say it's all transcendent, but there's a certain qualitative difference. And I want to know what it is about Ohioans' relationship to pizza that makes us think that more is always better. You must use 100 slices of pepperoni. You must use half a pound of cheese. You have to have the sweetest, most sugary sauce. It never occurs to anybody, take a lighter hand. What is that about us?
Well, I think it's the old calories per dollar problem, I think. the folks want to get a lot to eat, and we all know that. Actually, I think that's on the decline. Mm-hmm. Son Rich had mentioned earlier, Rubino's, they don't put too much of anything on their pizzas.
No, it's cracker thin.
Yeah. And it's been one of our favorites for a long time. But I think you're right. It's almost a Midwestern thing. Chicago, Pizzeria Uno is a thick crust pizza.
And they pile on the top.
Right.
Yeah.
It's more like a cake than it is.
It is. And it's almost overwhelming. And I know I don't have a taste for that style pizza, but there does seem to be an appetite for it in the Midwest.
It kind of reminds me of the old Italian food pizza Ghana, which is made in like a spring pan.
Yeah.
It's got ricotta in it, but still what it's got is just like Chicago pizza, layers and layers of miscellaneous items that you would slice like a cake.
Anthony's Pizza next to Capital University on Pleasant Ridge.
Uh-huh.
It does exactly that.
Right. It has a precedent. Yep. But this pizza that they sell at Donato's doesn't seem to have a precedent anywhere outside of the here and the late 20th century. It surprised me, though. I read that New York Times article about the wood-fired pizzas. Mm-hmm. And what basically they're doing is they're making the kind of pizza that my 80-year-old mother has made for us all our lives. Except she didn't have a wood fire oven, and she had to make it in her stove.
Well, with a pizza stone, you can do it.
Yeah, it's a kind of. When I was a kid, I thought it was a pretty darn parsimonious pizza with a little bit of sauce and a little bit of cheese. And God, what was she stinging us for? But now it just seems to be the way everybody's going, and I think it's a good thing.
Yep.
Well, and I think perhaps if you go to individually owned pizza shops, you're going to find more of what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Versus, the giant meat lovers, commercials that you see for Pizza Hut,
yeah,
where they brag about how you can't see anything but meat on the top of the pizza. And, that takes a little bit away from the texture, when it bakes.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot wrong with that,
soggy.
I think.
Or go to Italy.
Yeah.
I do have
go to Naples.
One good thing. I do have to say a good thing about that guy for, I think it's called Manhattan Pizza. He's up near Cleveland or near 161. Hmm. Is that where he is? Hasn't been there long. And he's got a real pizza oven, the kind that you find. The guy in the North Market has.
Mm-hmm.
And his pizza dough is a little fluffy, especially compared to what a Columbusite would be used to. But it's some of the best that I found in Columbus.
Well, thanks for the tip.
Okay.
Thank you very much for your call.
Most certainly.
We probably have time for one more person. Andrew has been patiently waiting. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. I just wanted to suggest to everybody that if you want to try something that resembles very authentically the freshness of ingredients and the quality of craftsmanship that, in my opinion, embodies Southern Italian cooking, should try Giuseppe's Ritrovo over in Bexley. It's from Calabria, the toe of the boot of Italy. I've been in there personally, spoken with him on a number of occasions. I lived in Italy for a couple years in the Navy, right next to a trattoria in the Naples area. I assure you that this guy does not overspice anything. When pizzas are cooked there, the dough is slightly carbonized on the bottom. Everything that he does there has the freshness and non-overpowered, overspiced flavor of a Southern Italian authentic cooking. Can't say enough about it. It's one of the best Italian places I've been in the United States, period.
Yeah, we're happy to have it in the neighborhood.
Yeah,
right down the street from.
It's about four blocks from both my dad and I in between. And I must say, I've had their margarita pizza there is absolutely wonderful. Thin crust, very airy. Basil, tomato, mozzarella, and olive oil. It is, it's a big portion, too.
You can get carryout, by the way.
And
it's
we did.
Fantastic. I mean, his arugula salad is tip-top. It's just the way that everything is prepared there. He's got some flair. I'm sure there's a few of the dishes that he's sort of Americanized if people want to go there and have the traditional spaghetti and meatballs and things. But when you get his plain, marinara sauces, they're just not overspiced. They're not infused with the tons of garlic that you get in, the Americanized imported sauces.
Okay, thank you very much for your call, Andrew. We are out of time. We will do this again next month, though, thanks to Rich and Rich Terapak, who do restaurant reviews for WOSU, and Steve Stover, who writes for City Scene magazine. I'm Marilyn Smith. This is listener-supported WOSU and WOSU HD 820 Columbus and streaming on the web at WOSU.org. WOSU 820 NPR News, and news is next from NPR.